I want to greet each one in Jesus' name this morning, and a happy Father's Day to all of you as well. I appreciate it, and thank you so much for the coffee and the rolls, for those of you that were responsible for that. It was much enjoyed. Appreciated so much the emphasis on the service this morning. That first song we sang talked about where God dwells in our heart, and that's the important thing. And that last song, the song we sang, "My Faith Looks Up to Thee," is one of my current, or has been a favorite for a long time. The title of the message this morning is "First a Follower." Now, as fathers, we are leaders, and we need to be. But we first need to be a follower. Psalms 103, verse 13 is this verse. "Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him." And the word pity here is not one that means, "Oh, yeah, I'm so sorry for you." It means one that shows compassion. And this past, I'd like to just read this psalm, Psalm 103, in memory of my father. My father quoted this psalm the last day of his life before he got out of bed, both in German and in English. And he didn't read a lot, but he had a pretty good memory, and he remembered this. I mean, he memorized a lot of scripture. And so so he had quoted this, Mom told us, in German, then he got up, or I think he got up then and quoted it in English. So Psalms 103, verse 1, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. He made known his ways unto Moses, his acts unto the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. For he knoweth our frame. He remembereth that we are dust. As for a man, his days are as grass. As a flower of the field, so he flourisheth. For the wind passeth over it, and it is gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto children's children, to such as keep his covenant, and to those that remember his commandments to do them. The Lord hath prepared his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom ruleth over all. Bless the Lord, ye his angels, that excel in strength, that do his commandments, hearkening unto the voice of his word. Bless ye the Lord, all his hosts, ye ministers of his that do his pleasure. Bless the Lord, all his works in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul." Now, the thing that the reason I think this is so interesting is because the first, not many years before I was born, there was a period of 5 years that Dad suffered a lot of loss. 5 years is not a very long time. It's been 5 years since Andy has passed. It's a pretty short time in some ways. I'm sure it seems long for some in some other ways. But in those years, Dad lost his father. He lost his wife. He got remarried. he changed churches, left the Amish church and lost a brother. Was shunned by his family and rejected from them. And so for him to say, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name." Of the faults that Dad had, unthankfulness was not one of them. And gratefulness, he had a positive attitude. And for that, I appreciate. I was filling my truck with gas at a gas station here recently. And the advertisement came on like they often do. And this one was totally different than anything I've heard at a gas station. It said, "I'm going to share with you the shortest verse in the Bible. Jesus wept." And it said, "This was a man that could do anything, but he had compassion." And it went on to give some words about compassion. And then it said, it referenced the church and said, "If you are feeling discouraged, go to a church and experience this compassion." It made a reference to their church, but it was not necessarily promoting that. But I thought, that was pretty interesting. You know, using advertising space for combating discouragement. So anyhow, I just wanted to bless the Lord for the good things in times of hard things there. And then also for my father-in-law. He was another man that impacted our lives very much. I didn't know him before I asked my wife for a date. We didn't do that back then. But I asked him before we announced our engagement, or before I asked him if I could marry her anyhow. But I didn't know him at the time, but as I got to know him, he was a very expressive, a very pensive, a very positive, encouraging kind of person too. But he did not have a stable father figure in his life either. At 12 years old, his uncles put his father out of the house because of his philandering. And so he only had intermittent contact with his father. But he was a faithful man and a man much given to prayer and had his walk with God. He did not, I'm sure he suffered his insecurities and things, but at his funeral, the person we asked to speak at his funeral there went through his prayer list, and he loved technology, and he had his prayer list on a little thumb drive, and he would expand that thing to letters about this big across the computer, and he would pray for these, and there was 500 of them, and he would take a long time to pray, but he would pray with his eyes open looking at his computer. And so that was Earl. But one of the last memories I have of him was after he was diagnosed with pancreatic cancer, knew he did not have long to live. He said this, "I think that I shall never see a poem as lovely as a tree that looks at God all day and lifts her leafy arms to pray, a tree that may in summer wear a nest of robins in her hair. Poems are made by fools like me, but only God can make a tree." And his devotion, his concept, and his expressions were very light, very very descriptive of what was going on inside.
I
remember the first time I heard that children get their concept of God from their father. And that was a brand new thought to me. It wasn't something that I heard early in life, but it was much later. Anyhow, I think that's so true, that children get their concept of God from their father. And so that's one reason why I think it's so important that that we're followers first and then leaders. It is one thing to be. Have a dad-centered home, but it's something else to have a Christ-centered home. And if the Christ-centered home is what's important to us, and then we'll get the values that he has that are important, instead of just that dad is king here. And so we have that example to follow. You know, it's tough to be a father sometimes. He needs to be loving. He needs to be a man of integrity. He needs to be dependable. He needs to have courage. He needs to be faithful. He needs to be unselfish. He needs to have compassion. He needs to be generous. And on top of all of that, he needs to be humble. And sometimes that's tough to do. And so Jesus not only showed us how to do it, and incidentally, that's the best definition for teach, is to show how to do. And so the way he showed us the Father is in the story of the prodigal son in Luke 15. If you want to turn to that, Luke 15, verse 11, you don't have to turn to it because it's familiar. But I'd like to read that. And he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me, and he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. Excuse me just a second. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into the fields to feed swine. And he fain would have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father, but when he was yet a great way off, his father had saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. The father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it. And let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found, and they began to be merry. Now his elder son was in the field, and he came and drew near to the house. He heard music and dancing, and he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said unto him, thy brother is come, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound. And he was angry, and he would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. And he answering said to his father, lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment, and yet thou never gavest me a kid, that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this thy son was come, which hath devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. And he said unto him, Son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. It was meet that we should make merry and be glad. For this thy brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found. Now, I don't know about you, but I've read this story many, many times in my life. And I think it is one of the most beautiful stories in the Gospels. And one that shows us the most clearly God's heart. And this came from Jesus himself. He was saying this. And the focus many times is on the son that went away and did all these bad things and came back. But the real character in this story is the father. The father, and it tells us much about his heart and the son's as well. And today we would have advice for him. You know, to let his son just take his goods and waste them was probably not a good thing to do. And maybe we'd have some words for him. But that wasn't the lesson that Jesus was teaching. He was teaching the lesson of how the Father is, he's loving, and he restores those that come back to him. And I think that it's very clear that this person came to the end of himself. He came to a point where he said he's not worthy to be called his son. But the father didn't know that. The father didn't know that those were the conclusions he had come to. But when he saw him coming a long ways off, he ran to him. And that just warms my heart when I see that, because not only did he put forth that effort, but he was watching for him as well. He was watching for that return. And then when he did see him, he ran to him. And the son made his speech. But he said, you know, bring the robe and bring the shoes and bring the ring and kill the fatted calf. And all of this celebration was going on because of the return of the son, because of the restoration. I mean, because of the return. And not only that, it was restored. He wasn't just a servant. He wasn't just another member of the household. That ring signified that his sonship was intact. And it's just a beautiful story to give us a glimpse into the heart of God, of who he was. There were a lot of mistakes made on the son's part. Did that change his attitude? It didn't. It just was, it was there. So I think that in this chapter we can see that a father is loving. Jesus showed us how the father was to be loving. Integrity is an accurate moral conscience. It's doing what is right. And there are people that do what is, they think they know what is right, but it's completely wrong. We can see the example of the Apostle Paul before he was converted. He thought he was doing what was right, and he thought he was doing what was right, and he was destroying the church of God. But when he met the Lord and got on the right track, he built that in a way that no other person has in the history of the church. We see his love extended to the elder son as well. Here was a man that thought his approval was gotten by his obedience, which incidentally is a very important thing. But there wasn't a lot of love there. It was obedient, and he was obedient, and that was supposed to be his approval. And when the father really wanted a relationship, and that's where it was. You know, he had the obedience, and I'm not minimizing that importance, because that is important. But what the father wanted was that relationship, and when the son came back, he had it with him. But the elder son was still estranged, that had been with him all this time, and was right in his own eyes. And so Jesus showed us the heart of God there in that. We see the Father as being faithful to both of his sons, the one that was returning and the one that had been with him all this time. He went out to talk to him. He tried to persuade him. We see the Father as being unselfish, as being one that assured the elder son that all was his. We saw him as one that had compassion. We see him as one that's being generous. We see him as one that's being humble. And we see him as being one that wants to reconcile things to himself there. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 16, verse 13, he says, "Watch you, stand fast in the truth, quit you like men, be strong. Let all your things be done with charity." And I think that as we consider the things that are in our court to do as men, as fathers, the best thing we can do is show how to do. And I appreciate the thoughts that were already given on that. Let all your things be done with charity. It reinforces that. Again, just a few chapters before that, Paul spoke at length of what charity does, was, and is, and how it works. But he brings it in here to quit you like men, be strong. And I like the English words. I like to look at words that we don't use anymore. When we quit now, we quit. It's not a very good thing. But that word just simply means to act like men. Act like men. Be strong. Colossians 3, verses 12 and 13. "Put ye on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, longsuffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another, if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye." And a sister verse in Ephesians 4, 31 and 32 says, "Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." If we can pass this kind of attitude, if we can exemplify this in our life and pass this on to our children, That would be one of the biggest gifts that they could ever get. To be forbearing, loving, let all bitterness, wrath, and anger and clamor be put away from you. Wouldn't that be nice? Just to experience that. You know, while I think that lust is sometimes the sin of young men, and that can go all through life, bitterness is often the sin of old men and can be with us all through life as well. And so they're both deadly. They're both going to hinder our relationships, physical and spiritual. So if we can see that and rule against it, the way you take care of bitterness is by forgiveness. It's just what Jesus did. He showed us how to do it. So first a follower, we follow Jesus and follow that way. And just on a practical sense, you know, if our children, if our young children hear us talking negatively about another person, it causes questions, and then it can lead to bitterness very quickly. It can lead to many things that are negative. As men, we like to portray our strengths. We like to, some of you like to work out. Some of you can run a marathon. Some of you do different things to build yourself up, and it's a good thing. Something that, and you know, I'm not degrading that or saying it's not important in any kind of way. But on the ladies' side, you have tools as well that you can pull this out, and you can build that, or you can destroy it real quickly. You can build it by respect and love. You can build it by encouragement. And you can destroy it very quickly through scorn or disrespect or contempt for whatever your man is doing. That can destroy very quickly what has taken a long time to build. And so Paul, here in writing to the churches, he's writing words that are words that, to be a follower of Christ, these are the things that we must put on. Put on bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And so to be first a follower before a leader is to put on these attributes of that Christ himself, Jesus himself showed us how to do. One of the most poignant pictures we can have in our mind is with Jesus on the cross, talking to those, speaking about those that had put him there. He says, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And then if we can teach our children that kindness, if they can see it in our life, if they can experience it from us and pass it to their peers and to their siblings and so on, we have given them a great gift. It is we can't put a price tag. We can't put a value on that part of it. It's just wonderful. If we don't have it, we don't know what we miss. I've often said that I didn't know my grandfather on my dad's side because he died before I was born. And my mother's side, I knew I had one, but I didn't really have a relationship with him. I didn't know that it was good. We didn't visit him very often. We did sometimes, but I don't know if I could have picked him out of a crowd or not. And I don't know if he would have known me. So I didn't know what the relationship that a grandfather could have until I experienced it. And you know what? It's wonderful. It is it's wonderful. And so those of you that are newly grandparents, I know it's great. So anyhow, that if we don't have it, you don't know what you're missing. But there is good things, and showing kindness, being known as one that is this way, is a great gift to not only you but to your people that associate with you as well. And if we can pass that on to our families. Through our families, it can be a great gift to not just them, but to society in general. The Christian church has the answers for what's wrong in the world. And we need to be examples of showing how to do, of teaching that. First, a follower. Christ's values real in our life, and then we can be able to pass it on. I just want to close with this verse in Micah, chapter 6, verse 8. He has showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee, but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God. May God bless each one as we endeavor to follow and then to lead. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Dear Lord, as we come to you this morning, we want to thank you for the privilege we have of calling you our Father. We want to thank you for the privilege of being being together in this way. Thank you for your word. Thank you for all the fathers here today and those that will be. Just keep us in your care and help us to walk with you, to follow closely what you have showed us to do. We ask in your name, amen.